This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, and he scores!
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, live to tape, talking to you, the Caps fan, be you in the state of Maryland, Commonwealth of Virginia, and of course the District of Columbia. And live with me as always from Centerville, Virginia, the one and only mermaid herself, Anna Knox.
Yes, I am. Happy Sunday again, Gil.
Happy Sunday. Is it really a happy Sunday? You sound a little annoyed.
No, it was actually, I will say I went a little crazy today and I cooked a shit ton of food and I'm quite impressed with myself because I have to do it on Sunday. I get that Misfits order, which if anybody out there wants a discount, code, let me know, because I get my fruits and vegetables, and now they've expanded to other items delivered every Sunday. Plethora of deliciousness. And then I cook up a storm in the morning. I listen to music. It puts me in like the best mood. And then that I did watch the Washington football team. Get their asses handed to them by Green Bay, which I think was probably expected. And then that was it. And then actually my family's out getting pumpkins and I couldn't go. So I was a little bummed. But I'm here. We've got great games to talk about.
And we do.
And the weather, again, kick ass.
'Tis true. And that's mismatched they started out, I'm familiar with them. They started out as a discount produce distributor. Misfits, that is, a free plug in case you guys want to sponsor the show, Misfits. Like you said, they started out in produce. So you said you're expanding into other things.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I'll give a little plug to a great pun fan. Sure. When I was in high school, but that's okay. It all started with COVID and I found they were like being advertised on who knows, Facebook, Instagram, whatever. And I was like, you know, that'd be kind of cool. Support like local farmers in the area, produce and all that kind of stuff. Let's see what happens. And I just requested a box and it was a mystery box. So I was like, okay, we'll see how this goes. And everything was great, except I had to contact my brother-in-law, who's a chef, to be like, I don't know what this is. Do I peel it? Do I steam it? Like, what is this? So that was fun, because he's like, really, Anna? And then they came up with the whole, like, you can customize. So you can go through all the fruits and all the vegetables that you could possibly want, 10 different kinds of mushrooms, whatever. But now they do pantry stuff. So you can get olive oil and broth and spaghetti sauce and noodles and whatever else. Ton of gluten-free vegan stuff, which is not my thing, but they have a lot of it. And then they also started to do meat and poultry and seafood, which I do that with a different company, but that's a whole other story for another show. But yeah, it's been really cool. It's just, I don't know. I get this box. My kids are like, really? I'm like, we've been dealing with this every Sunday since COVID. You still get excited? Yes. Yes, I do. Your mom is a food nerd. But yeah, it just, you know, that's kind of like my Sunday thing. I put on, depending on my mood, I put on some music and I saute and chop and cook away and get things ready for the week. And then they appreciate the Misfits box because they're like, okay, this is pretty good. So I'm just weird when I'm like, look at all this stuff. They're like, but didn't you order it? Didn't you make the box? I'm like, yes, but I still like opening it. Total nerd. Sports nerd, food nerd, don't care. All good. So yes, Misfits Market. And I think, honestly, like if someone contacts me, I have like some code that goes along with my account. And I think it's like 30% or 50% off your first box, which is pretty incredible. So there's your plug.
Nice.
Misfits Market.
There you go. Free, a little bit of free advertising for you guys. So hope somebody's listening. Don't forget about us there. I'm something of a food fan as well. And of course, the Mrs. Blue Liner, she absolutely loves cooking. So, yeah. All right. But, like you said, we had a lot of great hockey, three games in particular. We're only going to do a deep dive into one, because the first of the three, which was against Colorado, I didn't even get to frickin' see because it was on Hulu and ESPN Plus, which I'm kind of on the fence about ordering. I'm not going to get into that whole discussion here. There really isn't time, but I'm leaning towards getting it. But I heard kind of mixed reviews about the coverage. But seeing as how half of the games against Pittsburgh this year are going to be on that channel, going to be covered by them, it's probably in the end going to be worth it, even though it's going to be end up being like five Caps games total. So, yeah, but no, I had I relied on Big John Walton's coverage. Yes. And of course, he and Ken Sabrin always do the great job of painting the picture. Not quite the same, but, I got by on it, and there's the video replays. So those of you that did keep up, of course, you know what happened. 6-3 win. Great game all around. Samsonov got the start. It was his first start of the season, and some said he looked a little shaky, he obviously pulled out the win. Game-winning goal was by Kuznetsov, Evgeny Kuznetsov, who this was probably his coming out party for the year.
Yeah.
After all the criticisms. That was great to see. And Mantha got on the scoreboard as well. So did Nick Dowd. And the captain closed it out with an empty netter. So 6-3 win. Three stars were Kuznetsov, Nick Jensen, who also had a great game, and Mantha. Quick run of the vitals. 40 shots on goal for the Caps. Great, great offensive performance. Power play stunk again, though. That's something of an ongoing concern. Probably the two most important stats, 19 shots in the opening period. Can't get any better than that.
Never said.
And, they had, they started, Colorado started, Darcy Kemper, who's kind of a journeyman goalie. I don't know if it was a contract thing or not, but you have a Vezina caliber goalie in Philip Grubauer. You know what he can do. And yet you let him go off to Seattle. I still don't get that. I don't get that.
It's hard to see Gruby. I don't know. I was never okay with him going to the Avalanche, but I'm really having a hard time with him in Seattle.
Yeah. And that's, I wonder when they come, when we go, I think it's going to be like in 3 weeks time when we play them. I wonder if he's going to get the start. Be nice. Be really nice. I don't get that at all. Pretty good goalie, and I just don't know. Yeah. But that's their loss. Anyway, so that was that game, and the next game was last Thursday against back home. Oh no, not back home. This was the first road game against the Devils in Jersey. I'm kind of gonna draw a line through this one too, because I watched it, and it was, again, another great game. But if you think about it, the Devils didn't really have all of their best players. Right. So they weren't at 100%. So, I mean, it was a great game. They played great. But it's not really, it wasn't really a true test, because you and I said last year, oh, watch out for this team. And, you know, this isn't the team that, you know, we thought we were going to get for this year. So I think as soon as they get everybody back from injury, you're going to see, you know, them come on. You're going to see the real, you know,
the real devils,
the real prospective team that's going to challenge for a playoff spot this year. So quick run of the score. Mantha opened with his second. Orlov, his first, also in the first. Sprong with a beautiful breakaway.
Sick.
Beautiful deke movement breakaway goal with a sideways knuckle puck. If you haven't seen the replay, go and watch this thing. It's a thing of beauty. His first of the year. And that pretty much locked it up. Yep. Kuzi locked it up in the third with his third. Wilson and Ovechkin on the assists. And then Devils got a late goal to spoil the shutout for Vanacek on their own power play. So it was 4-1, but a pretty good game. Sprong, the number one star. Orlov, second star. Kuzi, the third. 27 shots on goal for the Caps. Power play stunk it up again, 0-for-3. More on that later. Not as physical a game as probably we're used to from the Caps, but then that kind of played into our hands if you think about it. But yeah, another pretty good game. They shut down a team that's got some jump to them, got some legs, got some speed, and pretty good. But yeah, not their best, not at their best. So, you know, down the road when we play them again and again, I'm sure we'll get a much better effort from them. So watch out for that. Don't make too much of this. So here's the game we're going to do the deep dive on. That was yesterday, the matinee game. Yeah. Okay. And yeah, you and I, we really don't like the afternoon games. And I think a lot of people are also not liking the afternoon games. Oh boy.
No, there's a terrible pattern. And I just can't, I don't know. I just don't like when they have to play the afternoon games. And I feel like we're always playing like teams that, like, I felt like last year, like it was, you know, there was a couple of times we had to play Pittsburgh, and it's like, oh, yeah, yeah. Like, why an afternoon game? And this one, this team was no joke yesterday.
No, it was pretty obvious from the get-go. Although I would have to say they started well. The first 5 minutes, you know, they looked pretty good. They were getting a lot of chances. They dictated most of the play in the first 5 minutes. And then, yeah. I don't know, all of a sudden they slowed down and just didn't get. Hey, what? Okay.
There you go.
And then they woke up in the second period somehow, fell behind 3-0. Lindholm with two goals. Good God. Put a body on him for crying out loud. But, second period, they woke up. Kuznetsov with a shorty, that was nice, and Ferravari with his first ever in the NHL.
That was awesome.
Tommy Wilson with his sixth assist on that one. He's the best at getting the play started. Because
absolutely,
if you look on the score sheets, he's the one always with the primary assist, and that the guy who does that, it's his job to get the play started. So that's clearing the D zone out and then forcing a turnover and getting the play started and making the transition. That seems to be his wheelhouse. So that's his sixth assist already this year. Ovechkin with another assist on that one. And then the captain himself tied it up 3-3. And then third period was no goals. And then it went to overtime. And this, I don't know. So Sammy got the start in this one as well. Or no, he didn't. You're right. Vanacek got the start. They chased him after the first period. because they fell behind and fell asleep. So he ended up being the goalie of record because they tied it. And then, right. Yeah, then OT came around and I whenever a game ends like this, I always get pissed off because you saw the last goal, right?
Oh, yeah.
You saw how it went in, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, and I got it. I don't got it. Mm. And it was almost like the puck came at him and
he let go.
Sammy did.
Yeah. It was, it, mm. The hell is that? Oh, lovely.
Well, you teach a fifth grade class. You should be used to farts by now.
You have no idea. And I have to keep it with a straight face to be like, do you need to excuse yourself and go to the bathroom? Or next time, can you excuse yourself and go to the hallway? I'm like, well, I didn't know it was going to happen. I'm like, pretty sure you did. Pretty sure you did.
So what I'm saying is, Sammy basically let, he had the puck and he farted it through himself and scored.
It was an embarrassment. And then also I think that's going to put fans over the top a little bit. Cause it was like, oh, you know, sort of Vanacek sucked and let three goals in. They were three really, really, really skillful goals. So let's, you know, cut him some slack. And Sammy comes in and, you know, he does well. But again, I think he's going to have to redeem himself as his koozie, according, you know, it's kind of seems to be the chirping on social media. And it's like, okay, well, redeem yourself. And then you go and do something like that. And it's like, no, like you have to hold on to the puck. Like it was just like, between the legs.
Yeah.
Over the line.
Yeah. Yeah. No worries. Yeah. I mean,
it was slow motion. Just-
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It was like you were drafted in the top 30 of your class in your year. You're the goalie of the future. You're getting groomed for this job and someday hope to make millions of dollars. Yeah. You got to stop that shot.
Yeah. I mean, this is something that you'd expect during like, you know, halftime show at the Caps game when they put like the mites on the ice and they're little, and this is what you expect, like, you know, cute little kids who are 5, 6, 7, however they are, you know, in equipment and a uniform that's way too big for them, and they're, you know, skating their heart out. You expect something like this from a goalie who's learning to play the game, not from an NHL star. So this was, I mean, I have a list of things about this game that irked me.
Oh, by all means.
All right. Really? You ready?
Well, I guess I don't know how long it is, but maybe keep it to 2 or 3.
Yeah, there's like, but things that I can say, and then you could be like, yep, yes or no. Okay,
sure.
You have to admit, terrible passing.
Oh hell yeah.
Okay, they seemed off. I don't know. You did say they looked okay. That they looked good in the first 5 minutes. I thought they just looked okay. I thought they looked a little kind of. Back in that impulsive play where it's just like here and there and there was no cohesiveness or I didn't see that there was no calm on the ice. I'll say that much. There was just, it just seemed very like, I felt like, yeah. So I felt like they, to me, I don't know if I can say they came out ready. Calgary did. I mean, my God, they played 60 minutes of hockey and then mm-hmm. some into overtime. Mm-hmm. We didn't. I would say just the simple fact that it took whatever was said in the locker room after the first period and to pull the goalie for these guys to say, okay, now we're going to get our shit together and try to rally.
Yeah.
we shouldn't have to get to that point. And no. not after the first 20 minutes, like, and then now you're rushing to make up the next 40 and, you know, overtime and this and that. So that irritated me. It was a very, very physical game. I have a player that is almost at a level of my Ryan Rhea's hatred. You want to guess who it is?
Uh-oh. On the Caps?
No.
Oh,
Calgary.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I know who this is.
Kachuk. I hate him. And his brother. I don't care who his dad was. I don't even want to talk about it. This guy gets under my flipping skin because I find him to be such a dirty player. And he was trying last night with Willie. Oh, my God. And look at Tom Wilson holding himself. However, the last little ta-da I have to make is terrible calls. I thought the roughing sucked. I thought that they were definitely having a very pro-Calgary game because there were plenty of times, Wilson, anything that was up against them never got called. And this one player, oof, Matthew. Use my teacher.
Yeah, no. Yeah, the reffing definitely stunk yesterday.
It started off with that terrible Hathaway call, and that gave Calgary, you know, opportunity on their power play to score. And I think just everything just kind of went, you know, kind of to shit after that. There was just things that I was like, are you flipping kidding me? You're not going to call that. And you could hear it in the stands, of course, home game. Like, you know, they want everything to be called. But there were times that you just had to shake your head and be like, what the hell? And so, I don't know. I was proud that, you know, Tommy held his own. He was getting chirped by Matthew. I can't even, I'm starting to just be like, I hate this guy. I do. Not starting to, I do. I hated him a couple of years, like last year, season four. Like, he's just a dirty, dirty, dirty player. So, okay, that's my list.
Yeah. Well, you're wet, and you would be right about that. There's quite a few that feel that way about one Brady Kachuk or Matthews, also for that matter. Matthew's worse, in my opinion, but yeah, both.
That's just it. Matthew is worse, and Brady just signed like a sick contract. I think he's almost the mature of the two, but
yeah, and they get to play them tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, right. It is tomorrow. Up in Ottawa. For my part, yeah, they did not. It was two things for me. Besides the refs, they fell asleep, and I'm slowing down again. Hey, speaking of sponsors, this time. Screw Duncan. I'm doing the Starbucks espresso shot now to keep awake.
Yeah, if we were to get a Starbucks or a Duncan sponsorship,
yeah,
like that,
something
would
like that would rock. That
we
would
could
totally
probably
rock.
Afford to go to the games live.
yeah, that we could, among other things. obviously they fell asleep in the first, which, you know, always pisses me off. And yeah, because they didn't come to play, and Calgary did, and that and the power play again stunk up the joint, and they had in this game, I think it was four chances, at least three chances, and
four chances,
four chances and nothing. So that makes, by my count, 10 straight opportunities that they haven't scored on.
Yeah,
that sucks. I don't care who you are, that's terrible, but at least they got a point out of it. So if you want to be glass half full, this means in the first five or six games that they've played, they have not lost in regulation. So
yeah.
I guess glass half full there. So,
well, let's just all get on the I hate Kachuk bandwagon.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sure if and when they play them again, there'll be plenty of chance for that.
Yeah.
So Caps end the week 2-0-1 once again, a lot like last week. What's the O stand for? Oh yeah, I did that joke already.
Yes, you did.
That's what the O stands for. Oh yeah, I did that joke already. Anyway, okay, so that's the week that was in Caps on the Ice action.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to transition now to a very special guest that we're going to have on here. We've mentioned him many, many, many times, and he's been a great, great friend and supporter of the show. Many of you may remember last year when we did the mask drive for charity. This man was the winner and donated graciously. So we made sure that the proceeds went to something that is, of course, near and dear to his heart. And that's the St. Christopher Truckers Fund. He is a trucker himself. And as I always say, you've got people like this man to thank for if you've ever gotten something from a restaurant, a store, or anything at all. It's people like this gentleman that keeps America running. So keep that in mind. And Caps fans and loyal listeners, why don't you give a hearty welcome to Mr. Eric Hayes. Eric, how you doing this evening?
Gil and Anna, hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Pretty good.
Mr. Hayes.
Hey, it's so awesome to be on your show. Thanks for having me. I love it.
Oh, it's great having you on. We've wanted to have you on for some time, ever since Anna got in touch with you. Thanks for being a great, great supporter of the show. And it's it is kick-ass to have you on finally.
Absolutely. Hey, I mean, I appreciate everything that you guys do as well. Helping to keep me informed because of not getting able to watch the games on television that often. I kind of rely on satellite radio to follow our guys. So I appreciate you guys keeping me up to date on all the goings on. So thank you.
Oh, sure. Well, it's the least we can do. And thank you for everything you do. So my first question is always how did you get started as a Caps fan?
Oh my God. You know, I guess it just kind of happened back in the 80s. A friend of my dad, he was a big Skipjacks fan.
Oh.
And would go to a lot of the Skipjack games. And then it kind of just transitioned into, you know, the mothership, the Caps, and been going with the Caps ever since.
Great. Awesome. Great. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Love those 80s teams. That's when I was at more or less had gotten started. But yeah, I went to a handful of Skipjacks games myself growing up in the Baltimore area. So yeah, I remember those days fondly. Of course, wish they could have stayed around, but you know, what's to be.
I agree.
You know? So getting to a little more to you, how long have you been doing the routes that you do?
Okay, so I've been trucking for 35 years.
Wow.
Probably 25 of that has been, you know, long distance hauling. When I first started out way back in 1988, bounced around to a lot of different jobs until I landed with a childhood friend who also was in transportation. And I worked for him for about 25 years. And then just recently have started my own thing. So now I get to wear all the hats. But 35 years of hauling everything from aircraft parts to, I mean, you name it, I pretty much hauled it.
Nice. Well, I was gonna be the next thing I asked you. What do you usually haul? What do you usually deliver? But sounds like you do it all.
Yeah, so like for probably the biggest, I guess the majority of my career was in aviation. Actually, when Anna and I first crossed paths, I was out in California at one of my customers out there, and we just started chatting and developed the kick-ass friendship along the way. Yeah. And, you know, now I'm, you know, part of this family with y'all and the podcast and just love it. I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's great to hear. So great to have you on. Great to hear your voice live finally.
Yes.
Now, so doing the route as long as you've been doing it, and of course that's, you know, that's your main job. But I mean, do you ever I kind of hate to ask, but you ever get out to a game every so often, at least, maybe?
No, I have not. This is pretty time consuming. Time off right now is not the greatest because of starting out in this new adventure that I've gotten myself into. And like, just to back up a little bit, because I don't think I really answered your question. Like, the stuff I haul right now, it's what would be considered uncommon route. So, I mean, I could be anywhere in the country. I've kind of switched from aviation over into hauling more of food, frozen, fresh, perishable, stuff like that. So we rely on brokers to feed me and my partner the freight, and we get it done.
Cool. Now, this is probably something that I don't want to turn this into something really like a kind of a down thing, but we've all felt the crunch as far as gas prices going up. But yeah. I mean, something like that, obviously that's going to be a big hit on your making a living. How have you dealt with that?
It's hard and it has its challenges. I mean, like right now I'm sitting in Evanston, Wyoming at a Pilot truck stop, looking right up at the marquee, and diesel cash right now is $4.11.
Good Lord.
So, yeah, I mean, it definitely eats into the profit, but I mean, that's when it's time to slow down, you know. I mean, there's still ways to compensate for the higher prices. You just got to take the lead out of your shoe and be a little more conservative, and try to turn the truck off whenever you can to conserve. So just got to use your head and be smart.
Well, there you go. I mean, here's a guy that's, sacrificing, and, it's so many people that do so many things. And this is what's so great about having a show like this. You run into different people that do different things with their lives, but in a way they're turning around and doing what's best for, the greater good for as many people as they can, because you're doing something so simple as, turning the engine off, even though it's, kind of a pain to start it up again. Right. It saves you money, which in turn saves your deliveries money, and they turn around and they pass the savings on. And, if only we could all take a lesson from that and just make sure that, do the little things, that's the lesson I take from it. Do the little things.
A long time ago, and in the very beginning, one of the very first mentors that I ever had, we'll call him Tom. And he was like, I would rather put 100 starters on a truck than waste fuel idling unnecessarily. And that has, stuck with me pretty much my whole career. So it's just, little things like that add up in the long run. It's all about the bottom line, and, just got to do the little things to make it all work out.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's great that you think of that. And again, I hope everybody takes kind of a lesson from that.
I've always said that everybody should at least one time in their life get to ride with a trucker, even if it's for a day, just from the perspective of riding high above everyone else, just to get a better understanding of, I don't think people sometimes understand, like you were saying earlier, pretty much everything we touch in our life has either been on a truck, a train, or a plane. So not only the truck drivers, but the train engineers and the airline pilots, it's all a team effort to get everybody the stuff that they like.
Yeah.
Well, I remember the first time Eric and I were talking, because he was in the Bay Area, and I was like, hey, I think I'm in your neck of the woods kind of thing. And I thought, God, like, I have a hard enough time having to sit in my car for like an hour or two. And if there's traffic and it's like 3 hours. And then I think of what his hours are. I was like, I couldn't. And then there are people who tell me that they know about my job and they're like, hell no, I could never work with a bunch of 10-year-old boys and their sound effects and their moments and everything else. So it is always very interesting because I'm like, oh, I hate, like, you know, we all love to get in the car and be like, oh, we're going on a road trip until you hit traffic, until you hit this, until you hit that. And then I think, my God, Eric, I don't know how you ever did or do those trips where you're like, this week I'm in California, next week I'm in Vermont. I'm like, oh my God, I do that maybe once every 10 years.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I missed that Vermont gig that I was on a few years back. That was pretty sweet deal. I worked 4 days a week, off for three. I mean, it was a very, probably one of my best runs ever.
Well, I could handle that scenery for sure.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Running out here in the West, it's pretty much brown and brown. You know, there's not a whole lot of color.
Yeah.
So, I miss the fall foliage up there in Vermont and upstate New York. I do miss that.
Wow. So, so your route pretty much takes you all over. Well, you ever get into Canada much, or is it just interstate?
I mostly stay in the States. I have been to Canada like three times, which was way back in the very beginning of my trucking career. I wish I could remember it. I think I was too kind of like freaked out of, you know, actually being in Canada. Mm-hmm. I wish I could really go back and maybe do that again. But with the way things are with borders and everything right now, I just kind of keep it down here in the lower 48.
Yeah. Yeah, I can understand that. I was only in Canada once, and that was we crossed the border briefly into at Niagara Falls. Okay. So it was like a couple hour thing, but it was pretty beautiful up that way. But I'd really love to go back. My mission is to get to see the Hockey Hall of Fame at least once.
That would be so awesome.
That would be awesome. So shifting over to the Caps, I know there haven't been a whole lot of games played, but what do you think so far of this year's Caps?
I'm liking what I'm seeing. It was funny last show when Anna was saying about it being a 1 o'clock game, I was like, oh my God, I'm right there with you. and they did not disappoint, came out with a slow start and, I think I was coming across like, I don't even know what state I was in, but I'm listening and I'm like, you know, come on guys. And then, you know, we get through the first period, we get to that second period and it's like, I'm like, okay, here we go. We're coming back. They face some adversity. We really haven't had that much, you know, fought their way through it. And of course, like you guys were talking about in the end, it was not the result we were looking for. But my question that I have, that I've been dying, where was Hendricks at yesterday? I did not hear them call his name.
Well,
they put Connor McMichael in.
Yeah, so okay, they've been playing. Go ahead.
No, you go.
Well, so they've been they've got the two rookies this year, of course, McMichael and Hendricks, and McMichael was the odds-on favorite going into the season to take a roster spot. But okay. Hendricks kind of surprised a lot of people, and because he did so well in preseason, of course, he was gangbusters in the first game, so they gave him a few games. But the thing with Hendricks is, because he's still 19 and he's still technically on an entry level deal, he can only play a certain amount of games, and if they keep him like it's like 9 games, it burns a year off his contract, and that
gotcha.
It's 1 year off his contract that it goes by faster, and so they're probably going to keep him out for maybe a few more games, and maybe put him in here and there. But I wouldn't be surprised if he gets sent back to junior. Because as good as he is, he could probably use some more seasoning there, and then maybe come up when he's old enough to Hershey maybe for a half a year. And I think next year will probably be his first full year with the big club. Let me
ask you this. So is that like similar to like in baseball, you know, when they are hesitant to bring these guys because it starts their clock? Is it like a similar type of deal like that in hockey?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. That's so the Canadian junior leagues, they have this stranglehold on young talent. So they lobbied for this rule a long time ago that said anybody over, and they consider anyone over 18 overage, but they want to keep the older guys. You're allowed to play up to your 20. You're considered a junior up to your 20. And so they wanted to keep all their best players so that, you know, people would come out to their games and see their best players. So they lobbied the NHL to make a rule that said, all right, well, if you're going to draft somebody and keep them, you can't keep them for a certain amount of time because, like you said, the clock will start if you keep them for too long, and then you have to make them pro. Otherwise, give them back so that we can use them. And that gotcha. Was pretty much, it's like 30 years ago they made that rule or something like that. Wow. But yeah, that's you got it. That's pretty much what it is.
Okay. Yeah, I've been dying to ask you guys that, but now I appreciate you clearing that up for me. Thank you so much.
No problem. So anything you've always wanted to know about the Caps or anything else? The Caps or the show, even maybe.
Wow. Oh my God. You caught me daydreaming there for a second. I was watching this guy back this oversized load into this spot. I was like, oh my God.
Oh,
he like
God.
Nosed straight up to me. And I'm like, dude, I'm on a podcast right now. You can't do this to me. But, I'm very happy with VTech. I'm glad that they kind of stuck with him. I mean, in my opinion, to give him the run. Yeah. Of course he took one over the head, Saturday. And I had a sneaky suspicion they were going to put Sammy in there after he took a little walloping. I'm hoping that they go back to VTech for the next game we got coming up next. Is it the Blackhawks?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow is Ottawa. They go
Ottawa.
The Senators. That's right, the road trip. Okay.
Yep.
Well, you know, it's, hopefully they can bounce back. And like Anna was saying before when I was on hold, the passing and stuff like that was pretty wretch by the way John and Ken were describing it on the radio. So hopefully they can, like Anna was saying, kind of get back on their faculties here.
They were just pretty flat. And I don't know that they ever got it together. Even if after they got that big wake up call, there's just kind of, you know, fire and crashing the net was how they got back. But I don't think they were ever in sync that whole game, but hopefully that's just a one-off and not preview of coming attractions. Now, my thing with Vanacek is I think what's going to end up happening is he's going to be the guy that plays probably 60% of the regular season games.
Okay.
My thing about VTech though, is I hope that it's not more than that, because I think he got a little burnt out last year, and that might have been what led to him getting hurt.
Okay.
That's what I'm afraid of, because...
So,
go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I mean, do you feel that Samsonov is the future? There's nobody else coming up through the pipeline right now that would challenge him at that position?
Well, if they decide to keep Zach Fucali in Hershey, I think he's got a bright future. I liked what I saw in him this preseason.
Copley's
still solid.
Oh, I think I forgot about him.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see Copley being the number one, but I think he would be a pretty good backup.
Absolutely.
Play 20, 30, maybe even 40 games. I don't see... You know, he can keep you going for that amount of time if you need somebody like that. So, I mean, it's not, I don't see them doing it, but if the Caps get really, really desperate and they have to replace somebody, that is hurt. And you know, one of those two guys I just mentioned, Copley and Fucali, really improve, then it's not out of the question to use Sammy as maybe a bargaining chip for a hole somewhere else. But,
and,
you know.
I also have one other koozie. It's like, did they, what happened with him? It's like he's back to life again.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, what has happened in his life to get him back in order?
Honestly, I think he hit rock bottom. From not just, you know, I don't know what personally, you know, if there was anything going on there, but I think definitely from the Caps fan base, you know, you go from being, you know, admired and they're wearing your jerseys, you're the Birdman, you're this, you're that, to people just losing absolute respect. And then of course getting frustrated and everything else. And he knew how much he disappointed the players, the fans. But I think most importantly, he really, really disappointed the players. And I'm sure that there was a lot of off ice conversations,
right.
We'll say, not interventions, but maybe,
right.
In which, you know, it was just, hey, listen, here's what you're capable of and you're not doing it. So your ass is going to be replaced. And that's that. And he really needed to come out strong this year. And
yeah.
He has. And I think what we're seeing is exactly what we all loved in 2018. But can he maintain it? He doesn't, in my opinion, in order to earn the respect of the fan base, doesn't have to score every single game. Of course not. I mean, that's like not even possible. However, he does just need to play smart, and he needs to pass, and he needs to shoot the puck when he needs to, and, you know, those kinds of things. But I think that he definitely felt a lot of emptiness the last year or two and a lot of disappointment. I mean, people are harsh on social media.
Yeah, so. I hear you. Just to piggyback off of what you were just saying, it seems like that was one of the things that John Walton and Ken were talking about. Like, well, I think it was Kuzi and Mantha. Like, a couple times they had shots that they should have taken and kind of tried to get a little too fancy or something.
Yeah.
It's still early. You know, it's early. Yeah. Hopefully all that, you know, they can get that fine tune. I mean, I'm stoked for this year. You know, they just got to keep stacking them.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we were saying last couple weeks, you know, don't get down on this team. You know, don't listen to the naysayers. This is going to be, at the very least, a fun team to watch. And you're already seeing that. And, you know, Anna mentioned this several times over the course of his career. And Kuzi has finally got that joy back in his game. It just didn't look like before this, at least certainly not last year, the last 2 years anyway, that he had any of that. And he finally looks like he's loving playing again. And that's always been key to his game. So, and again, like Anna said, he doesn't have to be on the score sheet all the time, but as long as he's making stuff happen, then they've got a chance to win. So You combine that with the young guys that are, you know, that are getting a chance, and the established vets who always want to win. And I think the final piece of the puzzle is a guy we've talked about already, Mantha. If he can start to find his game again, I think this will be a very surprise team. This will be some team that people will not have seen coming out of nowhere and might even do some damage in the playoffs. If they can,
awesome.
like you said, Eric, if they can just pull it all together and keep it going for long enough, it's not out of the question for this team to make a playoff run. But of course, it's still way too early to talk about that.
I hear you. And then my two last things would be, and then I'll let you guys wrap up your show. But another thing that Anna was talking about last week, the fact that we get to watch history. Like every time that they take the ice.
Oh, yes.
Because I was thinking when I thought about you yesterday when he got that one, and I was like, you know, this is so cool, and you totally nailed it. And then the other young buck that is I always butcher
Favari.
Favari.
Yeah,
love
so digging that. Yeah.
Yeah, he's
but
got.
Anyway,
so he's sorry, just fantastic.
Yes, liking him a lot.
Yeah, a lot of potential there.
I hear you. But anyway, guys, thank you so much for having me as a guest on your show. It's been awesome.
You're
support
awesome,
you guys
all
the way. So keep the show. You guys keep stacking them shows too and keep me informed and I'll be listening. That's for sure.
Hell yeah. Always, always. It's folks like you that keep us going and that we do this for. So thank you, sir, for everything. And I mean everything that you do.
Absolutely. You're more than welcome. It's a pleasure.
Awesome. Safe travels, Mr. Hayes. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Awesome.
Be safe.
See you, Gil. See you, Anna.
Take care.
Go Caps.
Yes.
Go Caps.
All right. Okay. So that was our dear friend, Mr. Eric Hayes, from the highways and byways of this great country. There you have it. And that's the great man himself, the Red Rocker himself. He's on Twitter a lot. I don't know if I'm not going to give out his handle, but he makes a lot of comments on Twitter, so he's worth a follow there. Anyone interested in getting with him, contact me at BLULINER 98 and see if I can get you in touch with him. But like I said, great guy, as you heard. Caps fan for a long time, and yeah. It was great having him on. Absolutely great finally having him on. Okay, so we got a little bit of a surprise double feature going on here. We've got the new dad, who messaged the both of us. And
looks like
and, I believe that's him calling in now. Mr. Gross, are you there?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, Robbie.
Hey, how are you guys doing? I've got a cat, a baby, and a dog all on me at the same time. So a sleeping a sleeping baby, no less. So I'm hoping the dog stops messing with the cat long enough for it works out. It's quite a menagerie here. So it goes laid down, really. So I have a puppy, a baby, a cat, a three-year-old. It's quite the life on paternity leave. So.
Who said
and
father?
I don't know why you can't do sports on the hill. I don't get it.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it's been a really cool week. I just wanted to call in and first of all, thank you guys for all the nice, kind words that you've said about me and my family over the last couple weeks and months. And I appreciate you guys as always. And I know I usually like to try to come on at the beginning of the season and get at least my early assessment on the team. And I've been really pleased with how the Capitals have played, especially how the Russians have played. And it's been really great to see the resurgence of Kuznetsov. It reminds me of the 2017-2018 Kuznetsov, which was a big reason why we won that cup. People forget that he probably should have won the award for MVP of the playoffs if it wasn't Ovechkin had such a big name. And how do you not give it to him for that run? But Kuzi was just as important, if not in some ways more important on that run, including that he's the guy that vanquished Pittsburgh. I mean, Ovi's got all the accolades, all the regular season overtime goals, owns the record, all that. But when we talk about historic overtime goal winner of all time, Kuzi's has got to be more important than almost any of Ovechkin's regular season ones, right? So,
100%.
Beating Pittsburgh is tops on my bucket. It's like one of the top five overtime goals, I think, in Capitals history, So, so that's exciting to see him like being excited and playing well. I love Orlov's play. Some of his shots, he looks like a forward. I mean, he clearly works with Ovechkin on that shot because it reminds me so much of how he plays. And you got to figure that they must work on that together. And just seeing some of the young guys in the lineup getting some of their first goals and points. Obviously, Nicholas Backstrom, we've talked about it many times on this show, one of my all-time favorite players. I miss him. But it's going to be an interesting to see where you slice him now and what you do with that. That's a good problem to have. I love the resurgence of Kuzi. And then obviously Ovechkin, the bum missed one game of scoring a goal, but the rest of them he's done pretty good in. So, he's been amazing, and he starts these seasons so well. I mean, Russian Machine Never Breaks did a great article about how every single week he start, or every single season he starts off hot, which is really incredible, and has started hotter the last couple of weeks, or the last couple of years, rather, than he did in the first couple of years. And now I think only Gordie Howe has more two-goal opener games in NHL history than he does. He's got four, and then Gordie has five. So, and you remember Ovechkin in his first season didn't even come in on the home opener. He came in, you know, much later in the season. I believe he got two goals in his first game anyway, so it doesn't count. But you know, it's his first game of the season. Yeah, it's just been really fun to watch. You know, obviously I won't be able to break down tomorrow my thoughts on the Flames. You know, obviously going down early, matinee games suck, but I just, the resilience to get a point in that was just phenomenal. And then obviously tomorrow against Ottawa is going to be, it's going to be a tough one. But I'll ask you, let you guys ask a couple of questions real quick, and then I'll let you guys continue on your show. And thank you for being, letting me on in such short notice.
No problem. No problem at all. Always great having you on. It's a young season so far. I guess the two things that on my mind that I could not believe that there were so many out there that were ready and willing to say, okay, the window's closed on the Stanley Cup. Not only is this team not going to contend for it anymore, they're not even going to make the playoffs. Have you seen enough to disprove that?
Yes, very much so. And, you know, I kind of laughed at it, but, you know, I have to say the doubt started to creep in. I mean, there is a window with these teams. You know, you can't keep the same core together forever. And, you know, credit to Brian McClellan for just constructing an amazing team and being able to reload and bring people in Hershey and, you know, being able to have a couple of different centers come in here so they don't, like, burn an entry-level contract.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's hard to know. Obviously, the returns are still early. But I think this team should make the playoffs. I mean, they currently haven't lost a game in regulation yet, so there's no reason for me to believe that they won't. You know, Ovechkin's on pace for 100 goals, which we know he won't have. But, you know, it would make the 33 a year a lot easier if he did. So, it's obviously a really good thing. Do you have any other questions about that?
Well, so the other thing that's kind of foremost on my mind is the goaltending situation. A lot of folks down on Sammy right now, but they've just invested so much in him. I can't believe the words even came out of my mouth, but in talking with our guest earlier, the thought came to my mind.
I have to take a call real quick. I'll be right back. Hold on 1 second.
Okay. So just to repeat that thought, for our listeners out there, I might stir up a little controversy with this, but it's entirely within the realm of possibility that if Fucali and Copley play well enough to earn a backup spot, be the backup to Vanecek, then conceivably it's possible that you got all this talent, you got all this invested in Samsonov. He is a former first round pick. He could be used as a potential bargaining chip for a team that needs a younger goalie, but that's going to depend on a hole, some other hole that needs to be filled. No, I'm going to reissue that argument.
Real quickly, Gil, I'm going to have to run because I'm going to have to help Liz with the groceries. But my quick thoughts on the goalie tandem is I'm super happy that we got Double V back. I don't think we need anything in the short term. I think this competition will be really good for the for them going forward. And, you know, I like to see what we've got with this team. I think it's constructed well. I think that we can make a call like in another 10 or 15 games, you know, whether or not, you know, we really need to figure out the goalie of the future, or if we got both of them right here. That's sort of my quick thought on that.
All right. Fair enough.
All right. Well, thank you guys for letting me come in. I'm sorry that I had to rush off so quickly, but, I love your show as always. And I'll definitely try to come on later in the season and give a little bit longer take, but I hope you have a great rest of your show.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah. Bye.
All right. Take care. Okay. So that, of course, was Mr. Robbie Gross from the Sports on the Hill podcast. He's, of course, taken a bit of a sabbatical this year due to being a father for the second time in his illustrious life. But as always, giving his take on the current team situation, always with the astute observations that he gives. So yeah, that's quite a bit more than we bargained for. I think that's the most different calls we've had in one episode. Hey, we'll take it. We'll take it. That's what we're here for, to interact with everybody. So great hearing from him. Great hearing from Eric Hayes as well. So, yeah, I think we'll wrap it up. But before we do, real quick, as we always do, going to give a quick preview of the next week's action. So we've already talked about this. Tomorrow night's game up in Ottawa against the Senators, that's a 7 o'clock puck drop at the Canadian Tire Center, I think it is, that they play in. And then Wednesday, back home in Cap 1 again against Anthony Mantha's former team. No Jacob Vrana, though. He's on long-term injured. Injured himself pretty badly. So no Vrana, unfortunately, in the lineup. But Detroit, 7 o'clock puck drop at Cap 1. And then Friday, to round out the week, it'll be the Arizona Coyotes. Also a 7 o'clock puck drop there. And so for anyone keeping up, do please follow us on the Facebook page. And, of course, I'm at Twitter at BlueLiner, BLULINER 98. Anna, where can they find you?
I am, obviously on our Facebook page, and then on Instagram at Aquanox49 and Twitter at ANox49.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. Yep, we're going to wrap it up. And thanks again to both our guests, Mr. Eric Hayes and Mr. Robbie Gross of the Sports on the Hill podcast, for coming on. So, another great week of Caps hockey. Thanks again for listening. So this is the Blue Liner on Point, signing off and reminding you that I accidentally took my cat's meds this morning. Don't ask me, Al.
Oh,
I gotta know.
No,
but nothing else. Okay. Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.